From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Monday, August 12th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and just a heck of a nice guy. And since it is Monday, let's do the Monday march back to work real quick here. Get it over with, right? Shoulders back, stiff backbone, smile on your face, and a prayer on your lips. And everything's going to go just fine, I can assure you. All right, let's get things officially started with...
The Daily Datagram.
Yep, words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. This is kind of silly. I always win, except when I lose. But then I just don't count it. Is that a positive attitude, or is that just being delusional? You be the judge.
Surely you can't be serious.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
Here we go.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happened on this day throughout history.
Oh, this is big.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Are you excited?
Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
See? Well, kids, it was on this day in 1960, NASA's first successful communication satellite, Echo 1A, was launched. Now, successful means it went up and didn't come crashing back down. Then when it got to where it was supposed to go, it actually worked, which was really cool. And it was on this day in 1981, the IBM personal computer was released. Everybody wanted one. Although they couldn't tell you why, they just wanted one. And once they got one, they didn't know what to do with it.
I got a bad feeling about this.
This isn't the kind of news we like to hear, but we're going to hear it just the same, because if we refuse to hear this, we're going to find ourselves in a heap of trouble. Microsoft has reported that Iran is ramping up its efforts to interfere in the 2024 U.S. presidential election. Now, that shouldn't surprise anybody. I mean, what should you expect from Iran? Death to America, right? Okay, so let's swallow this pill and decide what to do after we've learned all we can learn about this. They're going to be utilizing sophisticated cyber strategies. I say they're going to be. They are using sophisticated cyber strategies designed to exploit America's deep political divisions. And Lord knows there are plenty of them, right? Now, the tech giant's Threat Analysis Center disclosed these findings on Friday, underscoring Tehran's evolving tactics that aim to sow discord and possibly sway the election outcome. Now, according to the report, Iranian cyber groups linked to the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, or the IRGC, are targeting Kyiv figures and institutions involved in the upcoming election. And one of the most alarming incidents involved a spear phishing attack. Now, that's phishing with a PH. And this was a spear phishing attack on a high-ranking official from a presidential campaign. Now, the phishing attempt, which originated from a compromised email account of a former senior advisor, again, the key word here is former senior advisor, was designed to extract sensitive information. Although Microsoft didn't specify which campaign was targeted, the incident has naturally raised some concerns about the integrity of the election process. You know, and we're less than 4 months away from the election right now. Gee whiz, this is not the sort of thing you want to hear, but we need to hear this. And in addition to direct cyber attacks, Iranian groups have also been setting up fake partisan news websites aimed at inflaming political tensions. Now, these sites, listen up, these sites, often posing as legitimate news sources, publish content tailored to stoke anger on both sides of the political spectrum. For instance, you had one site that was posing as a left-wing outlet, and they were viciously attacking former President Trump with derogatory language. What does that sound like, right? While another, targeting conservative readers, focused on hot-button cultural issues like LGBTQ rights. So Microsoft suggests that these sites may be using AI-driven tools to create and plagiarize content. You know, so what's that going to do? Well, it's going to complicate efforts to track and counteract their influence. So this surge in activity is not unprecedented. Please understand that. Okay? No reason to panic. This isn't something we haven't seen before. Presumably, our intelligence agencies are looking into this. Perhaps they've already had their finger on this for quite some time. I don't know. Haven't seen any releases from the CIA or the NSA. But Iranian cyber actors have been involved in previous U.S. election cycles. But their tactics have grown more sophisticated now. They're more aggressive. U.S. intelligence officials have expressed concern that Tehran's efforts are primarily aimed at undermining candidates who are perceived to be hostile toward Iran, particularly those associated with the Trump administration, naturally. But this comes as part of a broader Iranian strategy to avoid a repeat of the high tensions experienced during Trump's presidency, which saw the U.S. withdrawal from the Iran nuclear deal and the assassination of IRGC General Qasem Soleimani. I mean, they're still smarting over that one. But Microsoft's report also highlights other foreign threats to the U.S. election, including from Russia and China. I mean, don't think for one second that they're not also a threat. But it emphasizes, this Microsoft report emphasizes that Iran's operations are uniquely focused on exacerbating America's internal divisions. Now, the use of generative AI by these adversaries is particularly concerning because it allows for the rapid creation of highly realistic fake images, videos, and articles, making it more difficult for voters to discern truth from fabrication. Interesting photo hit the internet over the weekend, and it showed Kamala Harris's little rally outside her plane, right? And the photo was doctored, I don't know by whom, but it was doctored to make it look like the crowd was much larger than it was. And do you know how we busted the fake? We looked at the reflection on the nacelle of one of the jet engines. The engine was painted in a very bright, very glossy color, a blue. And when you looked at the reflection in the nacelle of this particular engine, it was an outboard engine, you could tell there was no crowd there at all. So if this, and that was a work of an amateur, you can imagine how the professionals are going to be able to fool us. So the use of generative AI by these adversaries is really something to be concerned about. It allows for the quick creation of incredibly realistic fake images, videos, articles. And they're going to make it very difficult for voters to discern the truth from fabrication. You know, kind of like the Democrat Party's been doing. Iran's United Nations mission, of course, this is so foreseeable, has denied any intentions to interfere in the U.S. election. Oh, yeah. They're claiming that their cyber capabilities are purely defensive. Sure they are. However, these denials are contradicted by sheer evidence presented in Microsoft's report and by the ongoing concerns from U.S. officials. There was the case of one recent incident. A Pakistani man with ties to the IRGC was arrested here in the United States for allegedly plotting to assassinate several government officials. I don't know if you saw it. The New York Post had the article and even had a photo of the guy. And the plan was that U.S. authorities would be targeted, high-ranking authorities, several is the key word, several government officials. And this is a plan that U.S. Big guys believe was linked to Tehran's broader strategy of retaliation for the Soleimani strike. And, you know, you cannot discount the stark possibility. I'm really trying to find the right word here, okay? It's a stark possibility, if not a probability, that Iran may actually try to assassinate Donald Trump. We don't know much in the way of details behind this young fella. What was his name? Crooks? Up there in Butler, Pennsylvania. We still don't know what was behind that. We have no details. Nobody's releasing anything. And this is the thing that really ticks me off, because we, the American people, need to be informed. So we're less than 4 months away now from the election, and the risk of foreign interference of any kind remains a critical issue. And with Microsoft and presumably U.S. intelligence agencies on high alert, efforts to protect the integrity of the election are intensifying, of course. But the full extent of Iran's influence operations and their potential impact on the election, well, in all probability, won't be known until after the election. And if the election doesn't go our way, I mean, the only thing you need to say about that is, well, then it's too late. If you spent any time around the news sources over the weekend, you might have gotten a little noise from this story. We have newly released body cam footage from a Butler Township police officer that exposes the deep frustration and outright anger of local law enforcement following last month's attempted assassination of Donald Trump. And the footage, which was obtained by the Wall Street Journal, captures the officer, whose identity remains undisclosed at this point, vehemently criticizes the Secret Service for disregarding his repeated warnings about securing a vulnerable building later used by the shooter, Thomas Crooks, to carry out the attack. Now, what's interesting here is the officer's frustration is evident in an expletive, and, well, what's trying to, expletive sprinkled? No, it's more than sprinkled. It's very much peppered with expletives, but it's a very stunning piece of audio. As he recounts his attempts, futile as they were, to alert the Secret Service days before the rally. He says, "I effing told them that they needed to post guys effing over here. I told them that effing Tuesday." And the rally was on a Saturday. You get the dynamics here? The dynamics are pretty damning. The cops spoke up on Tuesday. Rally was held on Saturday. Trump was almost killed. So, in his remarks, this officer is referring to his warnings about the AGR building. That's the building the kid was on top of. And it was in very close proximity to the rally site. And despite the warnings, the Secret Service assured him that the area would be covered. A promise, of course, that certainly wasn't fulfilled. Now, this failure to secure this particular area had dire consequences, of course. And on the day of the rally, this kid, Crooks, managed to position himself. Now, think about this. Think of how many people were there. You've seen the photos, and yet this kid managed to get himself up onto the roof of the AGR building, and that's where he fired 8 shots. And he killed 1 attendee, injured 2 others, and struck Trump in the ear. And the only reason Trump is alive today is because Trump leaned forward to point out something on a chart that he had up there. Now, the body cam footage also shows that there was confusion among the officers on the ground, with some under the mistaken impression that their colleagues were already stationed on the roof of the building, only to find out after the shooting that this wasn't the case at all. Now, the officer's account, captured on body cam, very damning evidence, naturally has prompted widespread concern about the Secret Service's handling of the event and their coordination, or their lack thereof, with local law enforcement, also leading to some conspiracy theories. And some may not be as conspiratorial as you may think. We don't know that yet. But the footage paints a picture of chaos and miscommunication during the critical moments of the attack. So one officer in the background is heard saying to a fellow officer shortly after the shooting, he says, "I thought you guys were on the roof. I thought it was you. I thought it was you." Wow. And then, of course, the response was a frustrated no, and a question about why no officers were on the roof. I mean, how embarrassing is this? So the lack of communication between the Secret Service and the local police has become a focal point of criticism. Reports indicate that the Secret Service and the Butler County Emergency Services Unit weren't even on the same radio frequency, which likely, I say likely, contributed to the confusion during the incident. Now, there are indications that the Secret Service mistakenly believed that local snipers would secure the roof, despite earlier communication suggesting they'd be positioned inside the building to avoid exposure to extreme heat and a compromised vantage point. Well, as the investigation is continuing, I assume it's continuing. I mean, stuff that I read over the weekend says that the investigation could very well go on for a long, long time. This body cam footage has raised more than a few concerns about the adequacy of the Secret Service's security measures at the rally. And then when you think about the proclivity of this administration to do a lot of the DEI hiring, you know. Anyhow, the footage not only illustrates the immediate frustrations of law enforcement, local law enforcement, but also suggests potential lapses in the planning and execution of security protocols, period. But here again, the conspiracy theorist in me says the security was lax for a reason. They were setting the stage to take out Donald Trump. Because when you think of how scared the left is of another Donald Trump presidency, and what we just talked about in the last segment, Iran, for instance, would it be beneath Iran to station agents here in the United States, especially since our southern border is wide open? Would it be beneath Iran to attempt to take out Donald Trump? Trump's the last person Iran wants to see in the White House. But no, this is an Anglo kid who was up there on the roof. Well, could he have been paid? See? So, I don't know. But something either a lapse in security or something was planned that allowed the shooter, this guy Crooks, to go undetected until it was too late. And more than 3 weeks now after the assassination attempt, you got federal officials still undecided whether they want to disclose the shooter's motive. By now, they know the kid's motive, but they haven't disclosed it. And the lack of clear communication and the failure to heed local officers' warnings have really done nothing more than to intensify scrutiny on the Secret Service. How much longer can the Secret Service take this heat? You got a lot of people questioning whether this tragedy could have been avoided had proper precautions been taken. So, all we have to do, you and I, is just wait for further details to emerge. And they will. It's going to happen. The lack of clear communication and the failure to heed these local officers' warnings I find inexcusable. But then that's just me. And new details will be emerging, and the spotlight remains on the lapses that allowed this kid Crooks to carry out his attack, putting the lives of Trump and God only knows how many rally goers at risk. And the fact that an innocent spectator at that rally was killed, I find just absolutely inexcusable. What is more American, what is more iconic than Harley Davidson motorcycles, right? I mean, it's a Milwaukee-created and Milwaukee-based company. Almost went under, back in the late 70s, early 80s? And then it became an employee-owned company under the guidance of a fellow who used to work for, the automatic bowling pin setting manufacturer, Brunswick. A fellow who formerly was a CEO at Brunswick came in and took over Harley-Davidson and just nursed it right back to not only health, but outright prosperity. And it was a wonderful thing to see. So Harley-Davidson has become iconic once again. But now the company's facing a very fierce backlash from its core customer base. And it's happening at the epicenter of everything Harley-Davidson, the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. It's the largest gathering of bikers in the world. And the controversy erupted as several attendees voiced their displeasure over the company's perceived shift toward, brace yourself, woke policies, drawing parallels to the Bud Light boycott that shook the beer industry here back a year or so ago. And the uproar centers on Harley-Davidson's recent corporate decisions under CEO Jochen Zeitz. Jochen Zeitz, fellow who has pushed the brand towards sustainability and inclusivity, including the introduction of electric motorcycles, and, again, brace yourself, support for various LGBTQ plus initiatives. So I decided to look up this guy, Jochen Zeitz. Who the heck is this guy? And I went to my favorite search engine. It's a new search engine that I only installed just the other day. And the search engine is called ResultHunter.com. It's a search engine that is perfectly fair and actually seeks out conservative news sites. There aren't many conservative news sites, but they are out there. So up came this article from thetimes.com, the London Times, and the headline is Uneasy Rider, Jochen Zeitz on the Long Road to Making Harley-Davidson Woke. And I fear, actually, no, I don't fear. I hope that customers and employees at Harley-Davidson turn this thing around. This guy, Jochen Zeitz, is bad news, all right? Now, LinkedIn. Let's go to LinkedIn. They said, Jochen Zeitz is the president and CEO of Harley-Davidson, an iconic motorcycle company. He's also the interim CEO of the B-Team, a global network of business leaders committed to social and environmental change. Well, the name strikes me as though he is European. And isn't that where all this evil seems to come from? Yeah, either Europe or California, right? Anyhow. Find this more than a little disturbing. Here's a site, jsonline.com. That's Journal Sentinel. That's a publication out of Milwaukee. And see if I can get this site to come up here. It's not coming up. Oh, here we go. Okay. Oh, but they want me to subscribe. Okay, let me see if I can get something from the headline here. Nope, it just disappeared off of my radar. But anyhow, this uproar now is front and center. And a fellow by the name of Capital Jester, who's a poster on X, he says, hey, look, Harley-Davidson's having a DEI conflict with us riders. Their CEO thinks that chicks with dicks are cool while the rest of us think he's nothing but a bitch. F you and your rides until soy boy is gone and DEI purged at Harley-Davidson. Well, there you go. That's that's a little barometer there on the climate among Harley customers. So who's going to win this one? The customers? Or is this guy Jochen Zeitz? Needless to say, the changes are not sitting well with some of the brand's traditional followers. Because I can tell you, they see this as a betrayal of Harley's rugged, freedom-loving image. And critics argue that the company's focus on diversity and environmental issues, DEI, is a departure from its core values, most definitely. But during the Sturgis event, the controversy was palpable, with some bikers going as far as to describe Harley-Davidson's actions as branding suicide. And that is what it is. So a gal by the name of Kelly Guy posted on X. She says, boycott Harley-Davidson until they fix this. Amen. And you've got some enthusiasts considering switching to rival brands like Indian motorcycles. Have you seen an Indian motorcycle? It reeks of rugged. It reeks of rebellion. And the backlash has also seen a pretty pretty big drop in the perceived value of Harley bikes, which is not a good thing, with reports of models that once would fetch $30,000 now selling for as low as $4,000. But despite the uproar, it's clear that Harley still retains a loyal following. You've got riders, many riders, at Sturgis dismissing the controversy. Still expressing unwavering loyalty to the brand, regardless of its political stance. And they argued that their connection to Harley runs deeper than the current corporate policies, which they view as temporary distractions from what the brand truly represents. I don't know, but I, if I were to bet on the people in Milwaukee, Harley, it's huge. Took a tour of the plant one time. The floors in that plant are so clean, you can eat off of them. And then the Harley-Davidson Museum is there in Milwaukee, near downtown Milwaukee. If you're going up, if you love motorcycles and you're ever in Milwaukee, that is a must visit. And then every year they have the Harley Rally up there in Milwaukee, and they hold a bike wash. And they have all these lovely ladies in their bikinis out there washing bikes and raising a bunch of money for charities. So this tension within the Harley-Davidson community, and that community is huge and it's loyal. This serves to highlight the broader cultural and political divisions, the culture war I keep talking about here in the United States, with companies like Harley increasingly finding themselves at the center of these conflicts. Why do they take this crap on? What the hell is the matter with this guy, Jochen Zeitz? Why does Jochen Zeitz not understand this? I mean, you got another European, you got this guy, Carlos Tavares, running Stellantis. And boy, has he created a firestorm at places like Chrysler. I mean, the guy's a total idiot. I'm getting to the point, fast getting to the point, where we really need to get some kind of a business program together for the United States, protecting our free enterprise system and blocking these Europeans from running our companies. So, needless to say, there is some very rocky terrain now that Harley-Davidson finds themselves having to navigate. And while this is going on, the impact on its brand identity and long-term customer loyalty remains to be seen. But you can bet I'm going to be watching this. Let's move on over into the Comedy Corner and Jeff Allen.
Hey, I'm coming up on my 37th wedding anniversary. Same woman. That's right. I met her at a comedy club. She was a waitress at a comedy club in the back of the room. I couldn't see her, but I heard this beautiful laugh. I fell in love with her laugh before I even saw her. She was a smoker 37 years ago, so I don't care what anybody says. Smokers have the best laughs. All that gasping, gagging, wheezing is music to a comic's ears. So I'm on stage, and I heard this beautiful sound coming from the back of the room. Couldn't wait to meet her. So I get off stage and run the back of the room. She's not there. Is she dead? Where'd she go? Came out, leather skirt, white blouse, permed, 1985, permed hair. Bumped into her, two dove flew out. I knew this was the one. That's it. That's right. And we spent a week together. She was a single mom, had a two-year-old son. And if there were dating apps back in 1985, because my profile, if I was honest, would have read, alcoholic drug addict with rage issues looking for single female to overlook aforementioned character flaws. So, shockingly, we hit it off. I was living in L.A. She was in Ohio. January, I flew her and her son out and spent a week. I played dad. Took the boy to Disney World, went to the beach. April, I'm flying out on a red eye, and about 3 hours into the flight, about 3 in the morning, not a good time to make decisions, but, you know, I was awake. I decided I'm going to ask her to marry me. And anyway, that was it. I had no ring, no plan, never even had the thought before. Just figured, okay, it was an impulse. And if there's a single man listening to me here, not a good idea. That's all I'm saying. You know, if you want to do something impulsive, buy a pair of shoes. That's what I'm saying. But anyway, we get to the airport at Cleveland Airport. I'm standing by baggage claim waiting for the luggage. And I say to her, Tammy, I love you. I love Aaron. Do you want to get married? And Tammy goes, pardon me? I said, do you want to get married? You and I, as if she didn't know who I was talking about. And she thought about it and she said, yeah, I guess if that's what you want. That's how excited she was at the prospect of spending the rest of her life with me. It was no different if I said, hey, you want to go to McDonald's for breakfast? Yeah, if that's what you want.
That'll do it. Make it a moppinous Monday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.